So I don't know about you, but if you're at a person's house or you're visiting something and it gets awkward or chaos ensues, or, you know, there might be a couple, like the spouses maybe kind of, there's some friction, someone said something they shouldn't have, and you look at your watch and you're like, oh my, look at the time, I think it's time to get out of here, right? So I thought that was appropriate for the days we live. As believers, as pilgrims walking this earth and seeing these things that are coming upon us. And I think most of you knew, I was originally supposed to give this message a little bit back, but I got sick, so thank you, Dave, for preaching that day. But Rick and I thought it was important to still have this message, where we kind of lay out some of the things on the horizon. We never know exactly when the Lord's coming back for us. But we do know the signs of the times. We do know that you can look out and go, wow, there's some unique things happening. And if you are a little more skeptical, you may call them coincidences that are all converging at the same time. So that's what we're going to go through today. We're going to just, the verses we're going to use as a foundation layer for the message is Matthew 24, 32 through 35. So if you'd please stand for the reading of God's word. We stand to honor him as we read his word. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This is the word of God. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for just giving us all of the hints and the examples and your revelation of these times, because you knew your church needed to know, needed to be prepared, needed to know what to do. How can we be prepared, Lord? And we're going to go into that in this message. And I just thank you that your word guides us in all things. Your word is good for instruction, and it helps us feel safe in the midst of chaos, Lord. And I just pray that that's as we go through these things, as we see what evil things are on the horizon, that we never, never forget that you're in control, that you told us beforehand all the things that were coming upon this world, upon Israel, and upon your church, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we want to glorify your name in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. So the title of the message, another way of saying, it's getting late. It's time to go. We got to get out of here before this, you know, a lot of different things. So, like I said, when friction, chaos ensues, you're kind of like, let's get out of here. Do you feel that way today as Christians living in the world today? Now, there's some things that have happened recently that a lot of people think, hey, it's going to get a lot better. It's going to get normal. And I appreciate changes that help hold back a lot of the evils. And we're going to get into some things to remind us of how quick that switch can be flipped, where normal goes away real quick, where the rug can get pulled out from under you. It doesn't mean we're supposed to walk around all scared about that, because God's in control and we're his. But don't think we're back to normal. And remember, those who aren't believers, the rug can really come out from under them. That's really the point, is to get us focused to do what we're called to do because of these things. So one of the best indicators of the times we're in is Israel. Israel. So that's why I picked these verses today. And I picked these verses because there's a little bit of controversy about who the fig tree is. Is the fig tree Israel becoming a nation again in 1948, as God prophesied he would gather them from the nations after a lot of the curses that he said they would do if they didn't follow him happened, which they did, and he brought them back, 1948. But some people believe, well, no, that's not Israel. But we can't ignore the signs that God gave us also, because if it's not Israel, let's just say it's not Israel, he still gave us the signs that we would see, and that generation who sees these signs converging is that generation. You can't really argue that. So it's either Israel, or it's the signs, or is it both? Okay? So we're going to go into that. Okay, so let's break down those signs. And for time's sake, that's why I didn't read all these signs as you were standing. Plus, I didn't want you mad at me for making you stand that long. Some of you may still think I'm Sean Betts up here. I just want you to know, whenever I make you stand too long or say something, that was Sean. He came up here. And I had one person say, how was that trip out to so-and-so? And I'm like, I don't know. And someone came up and said, you know why they asked you that? They think you're Sean Betts. I'm like, oh. Okay. Sorry, Sean. No, I mean for looking like me. Okay, so here's some signs we're going to break down. So verse 5, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You know, I used to always think this was someone who's just saying, hey, I'm Jesus Christ, come follow me. And there are a lot of those. We know of those cult leaders and different things like that. But I would say anyone who comes trying to sound like the Messiah, maybe not Jesus, but the Messiah, the Savior. And we know that someone's coming to claim to be the Messiah, the Savior, maybe not saying they're Jesus Christ, the one that we worship, but they're saying they're the Savior. That's the Antichrist, going to claim himself to be God. So we do know that this stuff's already happening now. There's already people saying these things now. Verse 6, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. So wars and rumors of wars. What generation is alive, or the generation that's alive today, is the only generation? I mean, you can even go back to World War I, where you had the World War, right? The first World War. It openly declared itself as a World War. We're losing all those people who even remember that or were kids of those people. But World War II and all the wars that have happened since. And not only that, the technology to know about those wars is only in this generation. So even if there were all these wars going on, the world wouldn't know about those wars because the technology was not there to announce them. You following me? Okay. But what does Jesus say in that verse? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Now, did Jesus say, because I want these things to come to pass? No, he just knew that he knows everything. So he knows these things are going to happen. These things must happen to get us to that end state. Do not be troubled, though. Jesus says, as you see these wars and all this stuff, the rumors of wars, a lot of rumors of wars. There's a lot of wars going on, even with technology today, that we don't know about. A lot of persecutions in the church that we don't know about. Why don't we know about it? Because our media is not good at telling us things that are biblical. They want to give us a narrative. Again, remember that switch I talked about? That thing can get flipped real quick, and you're going to get no information. Okay. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. How much clearer could World War I and II be? To let you know that this is written thousands of years ago. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. In all of history, can you think of a better example than World War I and World War II? And what some are calling World War III. Some think we're in that right now. And there will be famines, check. Pestilences, check. Earthquakes in various places. Check. They're all happening. Now, I think it's important to remember a lot of these things happen throughout human history, right? There's been wars. There's people who said they were the Messiah. That even in Jesus' day, they said there was a guy who said he was the Messiah, and they even talk about him. All these men followed him, then he died, and then they scattered abroad. So even back then, there was that. But did they have all these things happening all at one time? were all the signs listed converging ever before in human history. The wars that were told about in prophecy, like Ezekiel 38 and 39, which says Russia and Persia and Turkey, I'm going to go into this more, so I'm kind of jumping ahead. But have they ever been aligned to go along with the... Never. Never. They've never been allied together until now, this generation. So then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. The church is more persecuted today than ever before in history. Now, we do not think that. We could have a broadcast system right now going out into Battle Creek, and we're fine. No one's coming to take us out. But in a lot of countries, you can't do that. You can't admit you're a Christian. They're coming after you. One second. Can you hear me? During the Lions game, I told myself, don't get too excited and yell. You got to preach tomorrow. And I did a good job. There really wasn't much to get excited about, but maybe yell about. Sorry. And then many will be offended. I read that back when I was a new believer. I had no idea how easily offended the world was going to get. I mean, think about it. Now people start working places and they're looking for ways to be offended. God knew that when he wrote that. This is too literally perfect. And this is how God's word is. It's very detailed and intricate. And he makes it obvious when it's happening. So I think this one little statement, and many will be offended, is a good hint. Because I would dare to say there has never been a time in human history where people were as offended as they are today. Because in the old days, you die. If you were weak and whiny and, oh, that offends me, that makes me feel unsafe, you're dead. You're going to die. People are going to kill you. You know, the bigger, faster, stronger army is going to kill you. Now we live in this world where it's like, I don't like that. And it's like we cater to these people. No. This is the time, guys. Jesus is telling us right here, right here. And then many will be offended. I mean, this just blows my mind in the days we live. It's like you couldn't have said that any better, any better. They'll betray one another. I mean, look at Russia's relationship. I'm jumping ahead again. Look at Russia's relationship with Israel. Oh, we're your friend, buddy, and all their decisions are bad. We've had administrations, I try not to get too political here, who say one thing to Israel, but every decision they make is bad for Israel. Betray one another. And we'll hate one another. There's a lot of hate. A lot of hate. A lot of hate comes from the people who claim tolerance. Because they tolerate as long as you agree with me 100%. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Now, I agree with that, and that is happening in the church, absolutely. But I think there's other false prophets. You want to see a guy I consider a false prophet? Check out Yuval Noah Harari. There's a false prophet. We're just all useless eaters. AI is going to take all of our responsibilities and jobs. And to quell us, we just need drugs and video games. That's straight out of his mouth. That's what he says. He's a false prophet. So I think there's more than just the religious church false prophets, even though we've got plenty of those too. Plenty of those. But and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. I don't know about you, but I've battled my heart growing cold. My love growing cold because of that, the lawlessness, the frustration I see when they're tearing down cities, when I hear about global leaders putting blocks or pallets of bricks in downtown areas, hoping that people will grab them and start destroying cities. That stuff makes me angry, gets me frustrated. And it also, it helps me, or it doesn't help me, it hurts me actually. It makes me start to focus on the people doing the nasty instead of remembering it's the principalities and powers behind it. We can't forget that the enemy is the principalities and powers behind it. It's not the people. They're lost. They're like pawns. They're just getting moved where they want to, where he wants them to. Not he, where the enemy wants them to. But I love this. So he's telling us this list. Jesus is telling us this list. Jesus loves us. So why would Jesus tell us something that's going to make us feel so, Because he's got things in it to give you encouragement. Verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. What is that statement saying? Finish the race. You're saved. You finish this race, you're saved. You endure persecution, you're saved. You give up, warning. You look back, Lot's wife, warning. Finish the race to the end. Then verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and the end will come. Another sign of the times we are in, technology and the population and travel, all of it has allowed us the opportunity to go into the corners of the earth to share the good news. We support a lot of places that are going into areas that never heard the gospel. And I really love Rick's point on this. I never heard it before until I came to this church. There's also going to be two witnesses, 144,000, and angels flying throughout the heavens warning the people of the earth not to take the mark of the beast. They're going to hear the good news. We're doing our part now, but they're all going to hear it before the end comes. Remember? Yeah, that's what he's talking about here, is the end. He's not even talking about the rapture of the church here. He's talking about the end. Look at how much we're seeing of the end times. Not just, there's 7 years to go on after the rapture of the church. If you believe in the pre-trib rapture, got to speak to some of you who don't believe in the pre-trib. Some of you are mid-trib, pre-wrath. It could be 3.5 years. So either way, there's time after the rapture before the end comes. Even if you believe we're going to be raptured into the clouds and in 15 minutes come back to the earth, which is crazy to me, but if you're one of those people, there's still 15 minutes for things to happen. Okay, So after this, Jesus describes the abomination of desolation. So if you don't know what that is, that's when the Antichrist goes into the temple. So there's a temple that needs to be built. It's not built yet, but it needs to be built. And it is a real physical temple. So if you got this allegory understanding, please come see me because I have a very hard Let me just branch off here for a minute. There's a little frustration I have that I didn't even know when I wrote this. If you ask your kids to read the Bible, and you read about the literal things in the Bible, like a temple or two witnesses, and you say, what does that say to you? And they say, well, it sounds like two guys, and they die, and their bodies are on the ground for 3 days, and they raise up again. And then you try to tell them that these are like church entities or ideals. All you're doing is telling your kids, don't read the Bible, because you're never going to understand it. You're never going to understand it. You need a priest or some person who's gone to school for a very long time explain to you how the Bible says things it doesn't say. So, I'll come back now. You know, Rick always says, come back. I'm the one who left you guys, and I'm coming back. Okay, so the Antichrist defiles the temple, the real temple, really built again, and he goes in there and he defiles it. And a lot of Israel, they're looking for the conquering king. They're looking for the guy that looks a lot like the Antichrist is described. So do the Muslims. There's other religions that are looking for a guy like the Antichrist. The Christians are the ones who saw Christ come as a suffering servant. as he said he would. So do we see all these things up to the abomination of desolation coming on the world today? And are we the only generation to see these things converge all at the same time? I would say we are. And when they began to happen, I hope it's the enemy attacking me to not keep going. It's not the Lord going, Jason, this is all wrong. Something's happening here. But the generation that began to see these things, if you do believe, maybe it's just a coincidence that Israel became a nation and fulfilled biblical prophecy at the same time these signs started to converge. But either way, that generation is getting older. If the rapture happened today, pre-trib, they'd be 83 years old. If the rapture happened today, and God said this generation will not pass away until the end comes. Remember, whether you believe it's Israel, if it's Israel, we got a date, right? We got May 5th, 1948. But if it's the signs, as soon as those things started happening, that clock started too. When you begin to see these things happen. So maybe it's just a coincidence, like I said. But let's talk a little bit about Israel becoming a nation where he says he's going to gather them. Ezekiel 36, 24 says, "For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land." This is back when it was written, it was a future prophetic proclamation. So either way it is, either you believe Israel is that fig tree or you believe it's the signs in that generation, I think it's hard to argue that we're not in those times, that we're not watching these things unfold, that as the world's at war, there's all these different things happening, even Daniel's knowledge, to and fro, all of these things, the church, the apostate church, the lukewarm church that calls themselves a church, but Jesus is outside the door knocking, going, never giving up on them. If you let me in, I will come in. But Jesus is outside that last church. And the church right before that, the Philadelphia church. I know you're of little strength, but you've kept my word. What would you call the church of today that has kept his word? That has not allegorized the Bible away and has rainbow flags out front and accepting everybody and not expecting anything to change in that person's life when they come through the doors? Is that the greater majority of the church today? Or is it the ones that are standing on the word of God, no matter what the world says? You know the answer. That's why you're here. It's hard to find one that teaches the word of God, that believes the word of God. And really, when you teach the word of God and believe the word of God as God wrote it, literally, you get to know Jesus. If you allegorize it, you are making up a Jesus in your mind. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. I'm really sorry I keep clearing my throat. I don't want to do that in your ear. 2 Timothy 3, 12 through 17. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I'm going to read the rest of the verse, but I want to just read that line again. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It doesn't say live perfectly, but if your desire is to live godly, you will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse. Normal's not coming back. He's telling us, this is God's word, and he tells us because he loves us. He tells us the truth because he loves us. These men, these imposters, are going to get worse and worse. They're going to grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. I don't know about you guys, but the last 5 years, there's been a lot of deception. And no apologies. No apologies for that deception. Just kind of, let's ignore that it even happened. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. But you must continue in the things you have learned, the Word of God, and been assured of. The Word of God, fellowship with believers, to remind each other of these things, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Don't say, and Christ Jesus alone. If we're all in agreement on that, this is why we're unique, because a lot of churches are not teaching this. I heard of a church that had an Easter service and talked about how Jesus didn't need to die on the cross. In a church, we're not talking like in a mosque or in a temple. We're talking about in a church had a cross outside saying, it really didn't need to happen that way. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped in every good work. So the main points from this talk, from these verses, I'd like to really focus on is that Christ followers will suffer persecution, not be pampered Christians immune to suffering. So if you're suffering persecution, do not think you're doing anything wrong. You're probably one of the few doing it right. Now, you don't go look for persecution. I mean, I've talked about this before. The guys who put the pig head on the stick and go to the Muslim parade and get beat up, you got what you were deserving, what you were asking for. If you just make Jesus your focus and you talk about Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. You could talk about the love of Jesus. You don't even have to talk about the tough stuff. You're going to be persecuted because of Jesus. That's what we're talking about here. Not going out and like riling people up, getting them all upset. I'd also like to remind us all that Jesus told us, God told us through his word, evil men and imposters, people posing as one thing, but they're another. I think you got those in the church. I think you got those in government, in leadership, all over. Will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We can't forget that that's happening. How do we know that's happening? We don't even need to have examples that it's happening because God's word says it's happening. So don't get this false sense of security and trust in the world system because God is warning us throughout scriptures, throughout time, that you can't trust them. You can trust God, and we're supposed to seek and save the lost. Use the things that are happening for his kingdom, but don't get too comfortable here thinking, man, these people are pretty good. This stuff is pretty good. All my hopes and plans are in this guy or in this girl or in this thing. Christ, Christ alone. Also, we are to continue in the things which we have learned and been assured of. We don't change with the world. We should not change with the world. We should not let our hearts grow cold. Like I told you, I've struggled with that. I don't know about you. I have, though. We've gotten irritated. And then the Lord's always there to, like, help me out. Like, Jason, remember, principalities and powers. Principalities and powers. And he says this is all going to happen as the days get darker. And we look to Christ all the more. All scripture is given by God and profitable for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. So the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, not winging it. Right, Rick? Not winging it. Now, I've admitted to Rick, sometimes with my life, my crazy, and my kids, and Sometimes I feel like all I got is winging it. That's all I got. That's all I got left. And then I went out and got a puppy. Well, that was smart. But it helped me get through this lion's loss, so I'll tell you that. But complete means lacking, or not lacking. He wants us to study all of his word so we may be complete and equipped, thoroughly equipped, thoroughly equipped. Don't we want to all be equipped for whatever task we have coming? Have you ever tried to do a home improvement or fix your car with the wrong tools? Is there anything more frustrating than that? I mean, you hurt yourself too. But when I lay something out and I've got the right tools and I'm equipped for it, man, I actually enjoy that project. I enjoy the project. And sometimes you prepare, and if you're not equipped, the job takes longer, it's more expensive, it costs you more up front because you weren't equipped. But when you are equipped, you're not surprised by so much. You see the parallel here? You're not shocked. Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to cost me so much. Oh my gosh, I didn't know it was going to rattle my life so much. Oh my goodness. That's Christians in the world today. That's why God tells us these things. So you are equipped. And not only that, it's not just some selfish thing where it's like, well, I'm equipped, I'm good. It's to equip other saints. And we all have different gifts. All different gifts that drive us to certain parts of Scripture. That's why we need to fellowship. Because someone else may be really well studied in, you know, the book of Daniel or the book of Ruth, and they may bring something in. Maybe you read the book of Ruth, but you're like, oh my gosh, I never got that out of there. That's why you fellowship. It all depends on how equipped we are, on how we handle the adversity in the middle of the project. Prophecy is one area many Christians find they aren't equipped for every good work. And I will say most of the church could probably blame it on their teachers. But we cannot use that excuse here. We have been, the teaching's been there to equip us. If we're not equipped, we have been daydreaming. We've not been paying attention. Or we're new. And if you're new, then welcome, and that's awesome, but you will be equipped. Keep coming, and you will be fully equipped. But we've shared our stories where unbelievers, we've heard how unbelievers during persecution and suffering have seen the calm of equipped Christians, and we're like, there's something different about these people. Have you had people come to you and tell you that? You know what? There's something different about you. That's fully equipped. That's not being rocked with this world. When the world says, go do this or you're going to lose your job. And you're like, that's not right. That's not right. Go do this. Go do this. Chase your tail. Go do this. Go do this. And God is saying, don't do any of that. Stay right with me. Something's different about you. Something's different about you. And God tells us we may suffer for doing that. But man, if some souls are in the kingdom of heaven because you suffered a little bit, for standing on God's word, amen to that. Amen to that. Angels are like celebrating in heaven every time one of these people are coming to the Lord. And you know what? It's all glory to God, but man, I want to be used by God. I want to know I'm being used by God. I want to be different. Staying calm in the middle of the prophetic storms is a good work. Doesn't save us. Good works don't save us. But man, we shouldn't avoid good works because they don't save us. What else are we going to be doing? Evil works? Bad works? So grace may abound? No. We're supposed to be doing good works because we love our Lord. It allows your light to shine in the extreme darkness. The darker it gets, the more that light's shining. That same work that you do today probably has more impact on the world than that same work being done in 1985. So, kind of stinks. You got to suffer a little more here. But man, I like having a greater impact. Or when you get that new job and you're surrounded by a lot more darkness and evil, that stinks. That's hard. But man, your good works, your deeds, your talking about Jesus has a greater impact there. Maybe that's why you were called there. Maybe it's not about our comfort. Maybe it's not about making more money. Maybe it's not about those things. Maybe it's actually about God's kingdom. Staying calm. The more we're in his word, the more we're fellowshipping, the more we take this seriously, and this is our first love. Jesus is our first love, not our retirement plan, not our comfort, not our pleasure, not our yacht, not our trips, but Jesus Christ is our first love. We're going to be following him. We're going to be listening to him, and we're going to look crazy. We're going to look different. Amen. So with that in mind, what's on the horizon for 2025? So I did a lot of this to prepare you, so I'm not like, you're not like, oh my gosh, this sounds like a bunch of stuff, nasty stuff. I want you to know there's a reason we know this stuff. It's to have yourself ready that this is going to happen and I am all about Jesus. None of this is going to change me. Okay? Some of you already know about it. And some of you know a little deeper about it, and just be patient with me, because sometimes people aren't ready to hear everything. So I'm surface hitting some stuff. Some of you are going to go, oh, I wish you would have gone deeper. I don't know if everybody's always ready to go deeper. Okay? So just trust me. Peace plans. So per Harbinger's Daily, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of prime minister of Saudi Arabia, spearheaded a gathering of nations during the closing months of 2024, and his purpose was to begin a process of establishing a Palestinian state by means of a 7 to 10 year peace agreement with Israel. The next meeting is scheduled for June 2nd through the 4th of 2025. 7 to 10 years. If it is the meeting that the Bible says, how many years is that going to be for? 7 to 10. I don't know. We'll see. God knows. We don't know. But we should still be prepared. And if you're one of those who's like, well, it's not that plan, we know they're trying to get that plan. So what are we supposed to be doing? I mean, does it really matter if we know which plan, when it's going to happen, if we're in that generation? We just know what we got to do. And at the end, we'll cover what it is we got to do and why it is we got to do it. Daniel 9:27, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week or 7 years. Days, years. 69th week of Daniel, 70th week of Daniel. So could this be the strengthening of the Abraham Accords that are already established or another peace plan altogether? God knows, we don't know. But we do know this keeps coming up in prophecy circles because they're trying to come up with a peace plan. That's the main point. We don't need to know which plan it is or what it is. We just know this is what the leaders that are going to grow worse and worse and the deceivers who are going to grow worse and worse, this is what they're working on while we're watching all the other signs Jesus told us are going to converge. So what do we do about it? Does it say we're supposed to go fight it and beat it and defeat it? Usher in the kingdom of God? No. He's telling us that so we can stand firm until the end. Finish the race. Those who finish to the end will be saved. Don't turn back. Okay, Damascus. I actually am very grateful that we're still here to watch the things happening in Damascus. I looked into Syria and Damascus, and I've been praying for the Christians of Damascus and Syria, because there are Christians there, and we know what's going to happen to Damascus. My hope is those Christians and all of us are out of here before that thing that's prophesied happens in Damascus. But you can't ignore that an ally of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 nations, which is, I think I wrote it down in here, okay, it's somewhere. Oh, here it is. Russia, Iran, Sudan, Libya, Turkey. So if you read the Bible, you don't see these countries because the map was not laid out like that. But those are the nations. They were all allies with Assad, who was in Syria. Right? And Syria was a Shiite Muslim. or Muslim, but I say Muslim. Sorry, Rick. But he's a Shiite, and Shiites are the minority, and they really don't like the Sunnis, who are the majority. And a lot of Sunnis were getting persecuted in Syria. So when he left, they're all happy. But just make no mistake, Sunnis and Shiites don't love Israel. Neither one of them do. So that guy was an ally of all those nations, including Russia, and he's now not in charge. And we know what's going to happen to Damascus. So just, if you can't see the writing on the wall, right, study more. Fellowship more, because it's dangerous there. And pray for those people in those areas, those believers in those areas, because this is a dangerous time for them. Amir Sarfati, so a lot of people are saying, oh, these guys are friendly to Israel. I trust Amir Sarfati more than I do the media. And he said, this new regime is more like ISIS-Al-Qaeda hybrid. So he warns they're not the good guys that's being portrayed. Okay, Isaiah 17:1, the burden against Damascus. Behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. Now, this is one of those cool things about Scripture that when I was a new believer, I didn't know, like, how do I know which ones are going to happen or not? Has it happened yet? Has Damascus become a ruinous heap and no one dwells there? No, I think it's still the oldest continuously inhabited city on the earth. Well, isn't it like God to take that city with that reputation and say that city is going to eventually not have anyone in it? I mean, he likes those drastic things. Like Israel was not this powerful people when he claimed them to be his people. They were a weak people. He's like, let me show you what I can do. Let me show you what I can do. Okay, so we got the Ezekiel 38, 39 nations that are aligned for the first time in all of human history in this generation. The technology and the signs in the sky. I mean, now we've got the new stuff, the drones and the orbs, and you got all these people claiming things, and everybody's like, oh, they're just crazy people. Man, there seems to be a lot of crazy people seeing the same stuff. I'll just say that. Like, I can't validate it, but when someone's willing to lose their job or lose everything to be a whistleblower, I trust that guy more than I do a $4 billion corporation. Not listening to the $4 billion. Like, you're willing to lose everything. You're more like me, and you're willing to lose it all, and you're saying these things. I'm going to listen to that person more. Okay, food shortages. Those are all over. And some are trying to blame climate change for the food shortages. But do we still remember the hundreds of food processing plants that burned to the ground, total loss, no injuries? You guys remember how many of those there were? I mean, every single one of them. One person put them all together, and it was like 150. And it all had the same narrative. Total loss, no injuries. Total loss, no injuries. Now there's been a few injuries. Probably forgot that trucker was sitting out there at the docks and started the whole thing, and then boom. Okay. Oh, and the chickens and the cattle, they have to be killed because of the diseases that they have, which some say we should still be eating them and not worrying about it because then we'd be building up immunity. Because I don't know if you know this, but God actually gave us an immune system that works better than any crappy vaccine that they come up with. Pandemics, disease X, and bird flu. State of emergency in California, bird flu, it's going to get you. They're constantly worrying about these outbreaks, but then we find out they've been working very hard to cross these viruses over so humans can get them for your benefit. It's for your benefit. Pharmakia. Pharmakia, the word pharmakia in the Bible has taken on a whole new meaning in the last 5 years. I used to think people are just going to want to be smoking pot and doing cocaine and crack. That's what I thought. I didn't realize it was going to be pharmaceutical. So it seems like most commercials these days are pharmaceutical products. You know, you got the sad, lonely person, life is just a mess. Then they take the vaccine or they take their whatever medication it is. My feelings on vaccines are spilling out into this message. I apologize. But anyway, they take their medicine because their toenails are like yellowing a little too much. And then everything goes good. And they can like go bowling with their friends. And they're playing some nice nostalgia 70s to 80s music. and everything's great again, while they're telling you all these things that could kill you or injure you. And they're hoping you don't pay attention. You're just watching them smiling and bowling, right? Liver falls out and you die. That may happen too. Call your doctor and find out how you too could enjoy this life. I mean, that is where we're at. I mean, you might look better in your coffin with no yellow tint in your toenail. Psychological operations. Have you guys ever heard of that term? PsyOps? So J.D. Farag saved me a whole lot of time and effort because he read through the Patriot Act, the whole thing. And I'm not going to go into all of what he said. If you want to, you can. JDFarag.com. He's a Calvary Chapel pastor out in Hawaii. But he brought out three really interesting things out of the Patriot Act. So you guys remember what the Patriot Act, you remember where it came from? 9/11. So you remember 9/11, we had the terrorists, they flew into the towers and the towers collapsed and all that stuff happened. And I won't get into that, and this is one of those areas I'm not going to go too into it. So some of you are like, wish I would maybe. Some of you, I'll just save you from it. But anyway, if you want to look into it, go ahead. But here's some things that came out of the Patriot Act. So psychological operations are things our government does, or not our government, but the globalists do, and they try to get us to normalize things. I mean, Nazi Germany was very good at this. And we actually learned a lot from them, brought them over here, and have used it. A lot of governments have used it, and I'm not saying all of it that they've used has always been for bad, but I think there are some bad. So let me just read a couple things for you. I'm freelancing a lot, so I'm way behind, so I apologize. Okay, so these are right out of the Patriot Act. So remember what the 9/11 was, and then this came out of it, this stealing your freedom, basically. Let's just call it what it is. Improving local and state preparedness capabilities by updating state and local surveillance. Assisting in the development of response plans, assuring adequate staffing and training of health professionals to diagnose and care for victims of bioterrorism. Extending the electronics communication networks and training personnel and improving public health laboratories. Do you guys remember 9/11? What does that have anything to do with what happened in 9/11? Number two. So these are just three things out of the, 131 pages of this thing. And J.D. Farag thankfully went through it, and he pulled out these three things that stuck out to him. Number two of the things that stuck out to him, increasing international cooperation to secure dangerous biological agents, increase surveillance, and retrain biological warfare specialists. I would think biological warfare specialists had already been trained. Why do you need to retrain them? Because some guys took a pocket knife and flew into the trade centers. Huh, weird. New vaccines and treatments. This is number three. In the Patriot Act, new vaccines and treatments are needed to ensure we have an adequate response to a biochemical attack. How did they know that in 2020 we were going to need all this? You think about it. Just think about it. Because to me, this doesn't make a lot of sense unless there was a plan. Unless there was a plan. Remember, those evil people, those imposters, those deceivers, they're going to grow worse and worse. UN 2.0, WHO, SDGs, for time's sake, I won't go into those. I've talked about them more detailed here in the past, but I won't go into them. But they're still working on these. They didn't, like, throw that away. They didn't, like, crush it up and go, okay, we're done. They're still working on them. They still want them fully implemented by 2030. They still do. They're still trying to get it done. So these entities are trying to accumulate more global power. Every year, every meeting, the UN's trying to get more power. And they're trying to do it under the SDGs. Right now, the WHO's working on where they could claim a climate emergency and have control over all of us. Even our constitution wouldn't protect us. That's what they're trying to get to, where no nation could say no. Well, no, this is the global. This is the global. This is the World Health Organization. You're going to do what we said. You're going to your 15-minute city. You don't need your car. And soon you're not going to be able to get a gas-powered car. You know why? It's easier to flip a switch and shut off your electric-powered car. And most electric companies will tell you, we can't even charge all those cars. And I'm sure they're going to be really heartbroken if you can't have your car, because the electric grid can't handle it. So some leaders today are standing against these things. They're standing against the WHO. They're standing against the UN. But like I said, Russia says a lot of things to Israel, and then everything they do counters what they've said. So we'll find out. We will find out. God already knows who really is standing against them and who's just controlled opposition and going along with them. So the Daigle Report, again, remember, these things are being told just so we have a firm foundation and don't get a false sense of trust on what's going on out there. Our focus, our trust is in Christ alone. Keep your eyes on him. That's the point. It's not to be like, oh my gosh, it's horrible out here. It's, oh my gosh, how great is our God that he told us beforehand what they were going to do. Daigle Report was something that came out and then got pulled away before all of this stuff started happening. And in the report, it actually said there'd be 99 people in the U.S. by the end of 2025. It doesn't say it's going to happen, and I think the restrainer has been underestimated by the enemy. But you still see, why would anyone come up with a report that even had that number on it? That's my thing. Is why would you even put something out there that had that number on it? You want that many people? Do you remember the Georgia Guidestones? They stated openly in many different languages that they wanted the world's population to be 500 million. This is the people. These are the evil deceivers growing worse and worse. This is what they crazy think, 500 million. We're at over 8 billion right now. So this is what they're trying to accomplish. This is what they want to do. But God is greater than them. And the restrainer is here restraining. The Holy Spirit is here restraining. And we've got to be on that firm foundation, focused on Christ, and let him use us to help restrain. Remember, thoroughly equipped. If you're not thoroughly equipped and you don't understand these things, you may actually fall for them. And that's not good for you. That's not good for your brothers and sisters who are learning from you or following you, too. We have to be equipped. I don't know about you, but the LA fires and the Hawaii fires have a lot of similarities. There wasn't water to fight the fire. There were reservoirs in California that had 117 million gallons available, and there's been a bunch of rainfall. They should have been full. They were empty when these things started. Jack Hibbs was on a rant about this. And I'll let you go look at him if you want. And that guy, I love how he stays centered on Christ, but you could tell how frustrated he was with the evil. This water's getting poured into the ocean for the fish. I don't know about you. Have you ever had a fish tank? I'm going to blow your mind here. Saltwater fish need salt water. They don't need fresh water. They'll die if you put them in fresh water. But this is what they're telling people, why these reservoirs are empty, or they were under maintenance. Okay. What does God's word have to say about all this? Luke 21, 28. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door. No one can shut it, for you have little strength, but you have kept my word. For time's sake and the potluck, I'm going to really speed up here and skip over some stuff. But I really want to focus on the Lord told us where to look. He said, when you see these things happen, here's where you look. And why did he say to look up? Why did he say to look up? I'm skipping over so much good stuff. You guys would have loved it. Okay, so real quick, look up. I had this cool thought. I was driving and, you know, I don't know. I felt the Lord led me here, but think about a flag in battle, the old flag in battle, right? Not this new technology stuff, but, you know, Star Spangled Banner, where you need to see the flag. It gives you hope, helps you know we're still in battle, we're still fighting, we're still going, we're still fighting the good fight. But it guided the soldiers in the midst of battle. Think of the Civil War. You know, when they're not in battle, they're eating, they're joking around, they're playing some cards, whatever it is. Right? They're just hanging out. But when there's a battle and there's chaos and there's cannon fire and fodder going on, all this, they're looking to the flag. And that flag bearer was so important that when he died or got knocked down, another guy would grab that flag. And that dude knows, I'm probably dying too. Because that flag was that important to let people know where we're going. What are we doing? Are we still going forward? Are we still moving forward? They had a lot of hope in the midst of the chaos and the flag. And they were all of one accord because you don't want everyone going off their different directions. They're focused on the flag. God wants the church focused on him. This is just a man and a flag. Look at how much power he had in battle. We are in battle, folks. We are supposed to be on the narrow path, not the broad path. We don't need churches just wandering aimlessly, going here, not keeping their eyes on Jesus, and, oh, I've got my cruise, and I've got this, I've got all my stuff that I need, but I'm not focused on Jesus. He wants us focused on Christ, going forward, the battle's still on, we're still restraining, fight this battle, don't trust this world. I told you throughout my word, don't trust this world. Don't trust this system. It's principalities and powers, though. It's not the people. Don't get angry at the people. Pray for the people. Pray for the leaders. Stand strong for the Lord. I think that flag in battle is a good indicator why Jesus told us to look up, stay focused. And he's never going to retreat. And he's never going to drop. We don't need someone else to come pick that up. It's Christ. He's in control. And he told us beforehand. I mean, in a battle, he told us the details. This guy's going to die at this time. And this cannon's going to blow up at this time. And this is the God we have. He told us everything beforehand. So when it happens, we're going, oh, yeah, he did tell me that. Oh, yeah, he told me about that too. And that's not supposed to make us go, oh, why is it so horrible? It's supposed to go, man, he is in charge. And we're winning. We're going to win this thing. Finish the race. Endure to the end, and you will be saved. And that goes for all those people out there who don't yet know him. And they need to see in you that you know God's plan. You know the battle plan. You know what you're supposed to do, and you're not rocked by this world. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for knowing us, that we needed to know ahead of time all these things. And Lord, I just pray that you just give us a joy and a peace and a love for the lost, for you, and that we loosen that grip a little bit more, Lord, on this world. Lord, I pray that you help us to go out and reach all the corners of this earth, in our circle of influence, just in the world, wherever you're leading us, Lord, that our love of self, our love of this world, the cares of this world, do not choke out your still small voice that's sending us in a place that there may be suffering or less pleasure, less comfort. Lord, just tear the calluses off our hearts. Help us to get into your word, to hang on every word that comes from you. That's where we get our real food, Lord. I just thank you so much, Lord. I pray for your blessing on this potluck today, on the praise today, And as we go out into this world and we keep looking to you all the way through 2025, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.